Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is one of my favorite people in the whole world, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. Tom, welcome back. Appreciate your being here. I appreciate everything you do. You're my favorite guy.
After a setup like that, I'll just say it's great to be back once again with you.
So you got to run for re-election. Is that a pain in the rump?
You know, you remember, Alan, I started when I was 18 running for the Board of Education down in Long Island, successfully, first 18-year-old. So it's not like I haven't done it before, but I will say that the context is a lot more challenging this year. You know, the overall environment, certainly given the national tone, is not what I'm used to, and I think some of that's percolated into the state races and local races as well. There's a divisiveness and an anger among candidates, you know, let alone, you know, from the voters, that the opportunity for a thoughtful discussion of issues seems to be disappearing. And I think that's a very sad commentary on the times that we're living in.
Well, I take it anybody who knows what they're doing when they're running for political office takes every election seriously, even if the outsiders are saying, come on, you're going to coast the victory.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't take anything for granted. I mean, the voters, I mean, that was the lesson of 2016 nationally for the Democrats. You know, the Clinton campaign took a lot of folks for granted, especially in swing states. And although, you know, the majority of Americans voted for the Democrats and for Hillary Clinton, in those swing states, you know, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, a lot of folks that had voted for Obama felt they weren't being talked to anymore. Felt they were being left out. They were angry about a lot of things, and they certainly ensured that everybody took notice, and they voted that. So, you know, certainly for me, obviously as one who's been around for a bit and raised, you know, more money than my opponent, one might say, you know, especially for controller, how many people are paying close attention anyway, unfortunately, right? But we're not taking anything for granted. I've been traveling the state. We are doing our commercials, you know, to get the word out there, because you can't take anything for granted. This, look at what's happening day by day in the news. Who knows what is going to affect the mindset of the voting public, you know, by you know, Tuesday morning, November 6th. I happen to think a lot of what's happening has really energized the Democrats and the progressive base in New York State, but we haven't heard from the other side yet. I think there may be some surprises in this. There always are some surprises. I can't pinpoint where they may be. I think the surprises will benefit the Democrats this year in New York. I can't say that nationally. I'm not as tuned in there. But, boy, to take anybody for granted, that was the lesson of 2016. Don't take especially your who you think are your voters, never take them for granted.
Well, I agree with you. Are the Democrats in the state as one? I know at times there's been some dissonance within the Democratic Party, and I know that the governor hasn't always been all that nice towards you. Has that changed?
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, we're Democrats, so that goes with the territory. You have to give the Republicans credit. Even in the worst of times, they're a much more disciplined and unified group. I think from a state perspective, there has been more unity. Certainly working with the governor and his team, we've had a unified effort as we've headed into the fall. You know, the governor went into a, you know, what could have been a very challenging primary. The numbers in the end didn't show that, but certainly the dynamic was challenging. I supported him, you know, from the beginning. He's been supportive of my reelection. Tish James has become a key member of the team. Kathy Hochul plays that supportive role of lieutenant governor really, really well. So, you know, we've been out on the trail sometimes together. More often I've been with Kathy or Tish on the trail. But I do think the statewide ticket is united, certainly from my perspective, compared to 2010, where there wasn't much unity, frankly, when it came to my race. Very different in 2018. And I think that's gonna benefit all of us.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question. As the polls come out, your lead looks pretty substantial. Does that mean that your opponent has to get particularly nasty with you? I mean, he's making some mean-spirited accusations about you. Are you a duck? Does the water fall off your back, or do you... how does this work?
Well, unfortunately, and I don't really understand the strategy, even before the polls came out, my opponent was pretty nasty right out of the box. I'm not sure, you know, whether that's a strategy or just what the temperament is. I don't think that's what people want to see or hear. You know, for me, how do I put it? I'm at a stage of my life, let me put it that way as a preface, you know. You remember my predecessor in the Assembly, Mae Neuberger, she would sometimes preface her comments with something like that. I'm at a stage in my life where, you know, I know who I am, I know what I'm about, I know the job that I've done and my team has done. There's very little anybody's going to say that is really going to impact me in a way that's going to divert me from sticking to my message and what I'm about. Is it pleasant when someone distorts record, misrepresents, whether that's because they don't understand or because they do it deliberately? Yeah, it's not pleasant. But in this business, in a year like this, where the climate is so charged and there's so much negativity, if you don't have thick skin, you know, this is not the game to be a part of. So, you know, we're staying positive, and we're going to continue to be positive as much as I can, because I do think at the end of the day, especially for controller, hear more about the office. They often don't understand what it is that we do. As an incumbent, they want to be reminded about what my record is, and I think staying positive in the long run, that's the winning formula.
Now, the debate was a rather interesting one that you had with him, with Jonathan Trichter. He almost got himself thrown off the debate because he brought props with him when there was an agreement there wouldn't be, said Mr. Lewis, Errol Lewis of New York One. You agreed not to use props. If you want to end the debate, you can go home tonight. Is that what you want to do? Put that crap away. We said no props, and you agreed to do it, right?
I've never heard Errol Lewis use a four-letter word. Maybe crap is not the worst, whatever, but it was a moment where I even was taken aback. You know, look, as I said earlier, we seem to be losing the opportunity for thoughtful discourse. And I think again, whether it was a strategy or that's just the personality, it didn't help his cause to handle it that way.
Well, Tom DiNapoli, he used to be a Democrat. Now, apparently, he's a Republican. Says here.
Well, that was the bargain. You know, he's a lifelong Democrat. He's much of his, you know, he keeps talking about his, you know, financial investment bank background. A lot of his time's been spent as a pollster and as a Democrat operative. You know, Melinda Katz, Mark Green, Freddie Ferrer, Carolyn McCarthy, Elliot Spitzer, when he was getting petitions to run against Scott Stringer for New York City Comptroller. He hired, you know, my opponent. So it's odd that you would choose to give up your lifelong party affiliation just to get a nomination, and to not only the Republican Party, but the Conservative Party, you know, which I respect my conservative friends, but I don't agree with them on choice, on marriage equality, a whole line of issues. And I suspect, because the conservatives tend to be true believers, they didn't give him that line unless he agreed to support their principles. So he keeps saying, well, control is not really a political office. Well, it is. You run for office. You run on a party line. And in the era of Donald Trump, to abandon the Democratic Party, and even if you're a Republican, and even if you like Donald Trump, you're going to trust somebody that's been a Democrat all their life, and they say, I'm going to become a Republican just to run for office. You know, if you don't stand for something, you kind of stand for nothing. And I just think it's, you know, a marriage of convenience. Maybe he'll become a Democrat after the election again. Who knows? But I don't think it's a good that's not a good validation of who you are to be switching parties just to run for office.
One of your opponents on the Green Party, Mark Dunley, says that you should divest the state's investment in fossil fuels. How do you answer that?
Well, you know, this has been a big discussion because, you know, we had an earlier debate, which I agreed to, with all of our opponents there. Mark was there, and the Libertarian candidate was there as well. So we certainly haven't been shying from the opportunity to present the public with all points of view. You know, I come from the same place that Mark comes from. Climate change is real. Climate risk is a material risk to our portfolio. We have been a leader among public pension funds in addressing that issue proactively in terms of looking for more opportunities for green or sustainable investments. We have now a $7 billion allocation for that. We engage as a shareholder with corporations, including the big oil and gas companies, to press them. Disclose your greenhouse gas emissions. What are you doing to reduce them? How are you going to comport your business plan with the Paris Accord? We believe having a voice at the table and pushing corporations is part of the solution. You know, I understand the appeal of the divestment discussion, but, you know, the reality is we have to change a lot in our society. You know, still a lot of New Yorkers that drive a car fueled by gasoline, homes heated by oil or natural gas, a lot of lifestyle changes, societal changes. Corporate America needs to be part of that. That's why we want a seat at the table in pushing them. And I think to just sell your stock to somebody else who probably won't have that opinion will not help address the climate issue. Now, that doesn't mean, Alan, at some point that we might not sell off some of these holdings, because the bottom line has to be, you know, what is the impact on shareholder value?
Sure.
And I think the notion that and let's keep in mind, we've divested from some other sectors, usually a small amount of money because we've not been heavily invested in something like guns or private prisons where we've pulled out. But we have billions of dollars in the energy sector. And even some of the energy companies that may be doing some good things on renewables, they still have oil and gas. It is difficult for us to move $5, $6, $7 billion, depending on how you count it, in a fast overnight pace without harming the bottom line. You know, because a lot of our money, especially in these companies, is through index funds, it's passive investing. Energy is a key sector. That's not going to change. So we have, as you know, the decarbonization panel that's meeting. We have some very thoughtful experts that are going to make recommendations on how we could further decarbonize the portfolio. Some of that may include, I don't want to prejudge what they're going to recommend, moving away from some of these assets. But we're going to do it in a thoughtful way, in a measured way. And for now, we're going to keep our voice at the corporate table to move corporations to support, including oil and gas, the Paris Agreement. That's critical. At a time that our national administration is going in the opposite direction, you know, we stand in solidarity with those that say climate change is real. We have to address it at every level.
Okay, now I want to move to state finances. As we all know, New York has a funny way of handling its debt. We have all of these authorities, like the
right? Backdoor borrowing, we'll call it, when they do the borrowing.
Right. You know, what's your thought about how to clear some of that stuff up? Because New York does have a deep debt.
We have a high debt burden, and we've so gotten away from general obligation debt, where you put the proposition before the voters. It's only now about, I think, you know, 4 or 5% of our debt outstanding was voter approved. I think we need to go back to that. I would prohibit, and we've made proposals for statutory and constitutional amendments to prohibit the use of authorities to issue state debt, have it go back to general obligation to be issued by the controller. I think that's an important reform. When you do all the borrowing through the authorities, you don't have the kind of accountability that you need, and that's part of why we've had a growing debt burden in the state. And that, should this economic cycle go the other direction, should our budget have more pressure because Washington will send us less money if the Trump policies prevail after the elections this year, we're going to have limited options because we've borrowed too much already. We have limited debt capacity available. And if our revenues are going to be down, and these are all ifs, but we're going to have very few options other than, you know, cutting services or raising other taxes. We have put ourselves in not a favorable position by managing debt the way we do it in the state, and I'd like to see some big changes there.
Well, that sounds more than reasonable to me. Does Governor Cuomo agree with you on this?
Well, I think it's fair to say the governor and legislature have not been picking up on our recommendations to change it because, frankly, that gives more discretion, to those other than the public. So, I'm just hoping, many of the good government groups have, raised this issue, Citizens Budget Commission and others, about debt burden in the state. I'm hoping that in the next session, maybe with some changes that may be coming, particularly in the state Senate, we'll get a little more of a fair hearing on our proposals.
Okay, so I want to talk to you about the stock market itself. It's wacko. You know,
October's been a tough month.
It's wacko. You never know what's going to happen. One day it's up, one day it's down, one day it's both up and down. You know, you're sitting in your chair, Tom DiNapoli, as the state controller. You got all that money, invested in the market and everything else. It's a wonder that you have any hair left.
Well, I don't have much to begin with, but I got very good advice from the beginning when I started this position. We're not day traders, so don't don't react to day-to-day or even month-to-month changes. You know, so we're very patient. We know the market's going to be up and down. We know, and we've been saying it, that this bull market run has gone on longer than anybody had anticipated. It's going to correct at some point. Whether what's happening in the fall right now is that correction or not, or how far it's going, we don't know. Time will tell. I also take comfort in knowing that we value the fund at the end of March every year. So what happens in the fall is less important to me, frankly, than what happens, you know, in mid-March. That we really got hit the year that the market collapsed in 08 and 09, because the low point of the market was mid-March of 09, and we valued the fund 2 weeks later, so it certainly couldn't recover in 2 weeks. But that's, Alan, why we do not put all our eggs in one basket. It's been another point of difference with me and my opponent. He would put virtually all of our equity investments simply in the stock market and let it ride. You can't do that. You overexpose yourself if you're just relying on the stock market. That's the lesson of 08 and 09. So we still have a big part of our portfolio, a little less than 30% now in fixed income, but that's why we do the alternatives. That's why we have money in real estate and private equity. We have very little in hedge funds, and even less as the years go by, infrastructure, real assets, because those kinds of investments are not correlated to the ups and downs of the stock market. So it's a diversifier. The strength of a fund of our size, we're over $200 billion, even with the ups and downs of this fall, is our diversification. So when one part of the portfolio may not be doing so well, another part will be doing better. That's how we've maintained our funded status. Now we're at 98%. We're one of the best funded public pension plans of any state plan in the country. We're one of only four, according to Pew Research Center, that's over 90% funded, and that's really our goal.
What does that mean? I'm sorry, Tom.
Funded means in terms of how much assets you have to cover your liabilities. So if you're a state worker, a local government worker, a retiree, and you hear, if you live in Illinois, for instance, that your pension fund is like 45% funded, you're nervous, are they going to be able to make the payments down the road? So when you have a pension fund that is 98% funded, you can know that you have retirement security.
Yeah, but what about if you're in the 2%? I'm just teasing. Okay.
We got enough time to make up that 2%. And also, Alan, I should mention, because we've been doing well, we've reduced the contribution rate we charge to local governments for the past few years as well. So that's been important.
Yeah, well, I bet it's important to them. You know, this big debate, Tom DiNapoli, about immigration. Now, illegal immigrants is a big part of the Trump campaign. Talk to us a little bit about whether or not illegal immigrants contribute to the New York State economy.
Well, they do. I mean, all immigrants do, and you see in many of our communities, even in upstate New York, by the way, we released one of our reports on immigration in Utica. I mean, that's a community, and the mayor, Palmieri, does a great job. He will tell you, in some of the neighborhoods where, you know, people had moved out and housing stock was falling apart, it's been the immigrants coming in that have rebuilt those neighborhoods, have worked in the jobs that others don't choose to be in. Look at our farmers, our agricultural community. Harvest time, you know, now in the fall. One of the big issues is shortage of labor because of a perceived crackdown from an immigration perspective. So the first is we need to rationalize and have an intelligent policy on immigration in this country and a path to citizenship. The vilification of immigrants that Trump has run on, unfortunately, successfully, continues to talk about. Alan, what was the story this week that he wants to do an executive order to say that children born here from these families will not automatically be U.S. citizens? I mean, that's rolling back Civil War era constitutional amendments that we have. I mean, this is such a backward, I'll use the phrase, un-American approach. Mm. I mean, New York especially, we are a state of immigrants. We pride ourselves on that. That contributes, as our reports have shown, to the economic strength and vitality of our state and ultimately of the country. We all have a story of immigration, where we came from. We should be celebrating that diversity in immigration. We should be making it easier for those who come here under tough circumstances to become citizens and to be fully part of our society, instead of putting up even more roadblocks and vilifying them. It's a another one of those national federal issues that should have been addressed a long time ago, not being helped by the rhetoric coming out of the White House.
So I wanted to ask you a question. One of the big issues is coming up in a few days is the election for the House of Representatives. How important is it, Tom DiNapoli, that the Democrats take the House?
Well, it's absolutely critical. I mean, just from a personal perspective, we need a check and balance, and it has to start with Democrats having the House. But I will take it back to a New York perspective. Many of the Trump and Republican proposals would, I mean, just start with what they did on tax reform and cap on state and local tax deductibility. It's hurting us in New York. But the proposals, particularly with regard to health care, to roll back the Affordable Care Act, you know, we've benefited from more money that's come from Washington through Medicaid programs to fund the Essential Plan, Child Health Plus. We have had a dramatic reduction in the uninsured in our state. Ultimately, that saves us money and also certainly enhances quality of life for everyday New Yorkers. If they are successful in continuing to control the House and the Senate and the White House, they're going to implement some of those proposals. And we're going to lose potentially billions of dollars, put a hole in our state budget, our local budgets, hurting families, people going backwards on health care coverage, not to mention the other proposals, cut education, housing, other programs. Ultimately, entitlement programs will be on the chopping block, Medicare, Social Security. A lot of New Yorkers depend on that. Why? To pay for their tax cut. That, you know, the Republicans used to be the big hawks on deficits and we have to have budget balance. Well, boy, that budget is way out of balance with that tax cut that they implemented. So we need to put a brake on what's been coming out of Washington. We need to put a brake on the Trump agenda. That starts with the House of Representatives going blue, going for the Democrats. And, Alan, I've traveled all across the state. We have energetic Democratic candidates in every Republican-held seat. We have a real opportunity, I think, for, you know, 2, 3, 4 of these candidates actually to win. I think that's where you're going to see some surprises. Some of the races that folks are saying, oh, no, the incumbents are going to win, I think you're going to see some surprises. I can't say where, but I think you're going to see a certainly expanded Democratic delegation to the House of Representatives from New York.
Well, let me just try one on you for whatever it's worth. We have a very contentious race here in the 19th District up near Albany between John Faso and Antonio Delgado. Faso has called attention to the fact that Delgado was once a rapper a long time ago. But it seems to me that the big issue here is not so much who's running, but flipping the House. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I serve with John Faso in the Assembly. He's an honorable person. I disagree with him on policy, but he's a thoughtful guy. We just have a different perspective. Delgado came out of a very contentious primary. He had a lot of candidates. I don't know that he was the favorite to win, but he went and he met the voters, and people liked him. And I've seen him on the campaign trail. He is a very thoughtful, well-spoken, strong candidate, and I think he's made very clear the policy differences, and certainly for us to win back the House of Representatives, that is one of the key swing seats. But, you know, the polls say it's 1 point apart. So many of these races, Alan, I know people have heard it before, but this year it really is true. It's going to be turnout. Who turns out? So if people think their votes don't matter, they're going to be taken for granted, not true. In a year like this, certainly in CD19, but in many other races, state Senate races that are very close, every vote is going to count. Your vote will make a difference. Whatever side you're on, your vote will make a difference. Do not waste the franchise. Do not waste the opportunity to express your opinion.
So let me ask you a fast question. We only got a couple of minutes left, and that is your report about how much we send up to the federal government and how much they send back. You're saying things are kind of out of balance. You only got a minute to do it in.
Okay, well, they've been out of balance for a while. We've updated the Moynihan report, and our last report shows we're getting back 90 cents for every dollar, a slight improvement over the previous year where it was 84 cents. Part of that is because of the increased support for health care, which we will hope will not be rolled back. But we don't get as much money as we send back to Washington, and we need to have that balance be more in our favor.
So is there a prognosis here that things will improve, that we'll get more back?
Well, not right now, because our last report really has more of the Obama-era spending. So
Right. Some
of the Trump implementation will show up in our next report. Again, it's why we need to put a brake on their agenda, because it's just going to show the numbers going the other way, I'm sure.
Okay, so I got a minute and 44 seconds, but I'm worried a little bit about where I put my money in the stock market. Which stock should I be investing in?
We don't give tips. Just be diversified. That's the bottom line message.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it is. Tom DiNapoli, good luck on everything you're doing. You know, you are a great favorite of mine, and I so appreciate all that you're doing. And we appreciate your putting up with me and us and...
Look, Alan, you and David and the whole team there, I appreciate that you focus on the state issues in a way that many others do not. And that's very important to have an informed citizenry out there. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you. My ex-French teacher, I hope she's been listening, Madame Bierbaum, would be proud of you and me. And
I will raise scotch in her honor.
We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, Comptroller DiNapoli again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.